This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah Webb.
Good afternoon.
I love this time every fortnight because we get our update on what's been going on in space. But the problem is there's been a lot of stuff going on and it's getting a bit crowded, I believe.
There has been a little bit going on. I love this time of week too because normally I can surprise you with some very fun facts about possible aliens.
That's
this
right.
This time I'm going to be a bit of a Debbie Downer and talk about what we've done to our space ecosystem, which is launch too many satellites at the moment.
So when you say too many, how many are there?
So currently there's over 8,000 active satellites, but the problem is we've got over 130 million pieces of space debris in orbit. So what's interesting is we need satellites for our everyday lives. They are incredibly important, but we're launching them rapidly to a point where we don't yet know how to track everything that's up there that is not an active satellite.
Can, just out of interest, can people knock out other people's satellites?
They can. And nations can knock out their own satellites in things called anti-satellite tests, which we've seen happen over decades in many different nations, which creates more debris.
But if I want to, let's say I'm representing Australia and I think, oh, I want to throw up a satellite, do I just sort of throw it up like a ball in the air and hope it lands in an orbit, or is it all planned out?
It's all planned out to a T. So if you would first have to get authorization from a few different places, including the Australian Space Agency. And then once you are approved to launch a satellite, you would then have a game plan for it. So you would know exactly what orbit you would want it to sit in and how much fuel you'd have to burn pretty much every year to keep it in that orbit.
Sarah, and I might be drawing a long bow here, so please tell me if I am. If you think about it, so 130 million pieces up there in space, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. Shiny metal, I'm thinking, is that reflecting the sun's rays back out? And therefore, could it sort of be shielding a little bit of climate change?
Oh, that's a great question. So the 130 million pieces of debris are quite small, so they're between a millimeter and 10 centimeters in size.
Oh.
And they do absolutely reflect the sunlight. The problem is they reflect it back down to us. So this is not a problem we're concerned about at the moment. But in theory, if you had millions of pieces of larger bits of debris or satellites in orbit, you could be reflecting more sunlight down during the nighttime on Earth.
Oh, making it worse.
Could have consequences. In theory, it's all very, very much not happening right now. But it's something we need to consider as we launch more things, is what does it do to our night sky?
We're chatting with Dr. Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology about what's been happening in space. Now, Mars might be hiding some water, Sarah. Tell us about that.
It might be. We've thought this for a long time and we've had inklings of water on Mars in a few different places, but we've just got new results from a project called SWIM, which is very aptly titled. And what it is doing is mapping where all of that water is on the Martian surface. And it turns out there's a lot of it hiding under the subsurface that we could potentially use if we ever get to Mars.
So we could drill holes and have a water supply?
Possibly, yeah. It might be easier than trying to extract it out of the Martian regolith, the Martian soil that is there. It might be easier for us to go near the poles and try and extract that frozen water, absolutely.
So, Sarah, if there's water, I mean, potentially there could be life?
Potentially there could be life. Oh,
it's funny. It's going to pop its head up and go, hello.
I just watched the movie Life last night, so I'm hoping that it's nothing like that, Life.
Now, it is Halloween at the moment. We were talking to Consumer Affairs Victoria a little while ago about some of the dangers of those small batteries in some of the things that light up. And we're talking to Sean Dooley about the problem that the netting, that fake spiderweb, is doing by trapping our native birds. But you've got some positive Halloween stories. Tell us about that.
I do have some positive Halloween stories. So we're doing a Swinburne Spooktacular and we're holding it at Swinburne University tomorrow night from 5:30. You can Google Swinburne Spooktacular and get all of the details for where it is. And instead of talking about ghosts and ghouls, we're talking about the spooky things that happen in the universe, including black holes and dark matter.
Oh, the black holes and the dark matter. I reckon there's something in that dark matter. Sarah Webb, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Dr. Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology. And don't forget, Spooktacular. Spectacular is on tomorrow.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.